Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you are an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. What are they made of? Cured edible green leaves, food-grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical-grade nicotine. No tobacco leaf or stem. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out their store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see oceanside relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
The Volume.
What up, y'all? T-Bob here from Snaps, presented by FanDuel, your new favorite college football podcast. But I'm here to talk NFL because it is playoff time and there's no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel. Trust me, I would know. I've been handing out losing bets all year long on FanDuel, and what I've learned is, look, the app is safe, secure, it's easy to use, okay? They have a ton of great offers, boosts, and more all month long. When you do win, you get paid fast. And the best part is you can really play however you want to play. And I mean that quite literally. If you love futures, those are there for you. If you love to parlay multiple games, that's there for you. If you like same game parlays because you just want to watch one primetime game with a lot of action, a lot of juice, spread, money line, over, unders, totals, player props, everything live betting. You get to the game late and you want to, it's all there for you on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. So try out the Same Game Parlay Plus while you're there and download FanDuel now, which is now live in Ohio. That's right. If you are signing up for the first time, use the promo code SNAPS for great deals. And what are you waiting for? Download the FanDuel app today to start making every moment more. Hey, what's going on, everyone? Welcome in to the vacation edition of Snaps. Look at our guy, Aaron Murray. If you're watching on YouTube.com/TheVolume, shout out. Sorry these shows aren't live this week, but we're a bit all over the place. Huge shout out to Aaron, though, grinding through the vacay. Fresh off of the golf course, wearing the red and black on the golf course as well. I mean, a full-on tiger red Nike hat. Aaron, what's the correct golf jargon? How am I supposed to ask you? Like, how'd you hit him today? Or how were the links? What do I need to say?
What'd you score today? I shot a nice clean 78, which I'm happy about. Was great on the front nine. Struggled a little bit on the back, but 78's a good day for me. So now I can go back after the show and splurge on some nice adult beverages at the pool. So that's where
wait, so that implies if you had not played well, would you have denied yourself the pleasure of alcohol? You're like, sorry, Sharon, I didn't get it done on the course today, man. Can't have any pina coladas in the Bahamas. Not after I'm shooting an 80 fucking 4. 78's awesome.
Well, between that and the fact we lost half our earnings last night on the table, so it was like if we would have been like a rough night and then a rough day of golfing, then yes, maybe there would be some punishment to have to come about that. But the fact that at least I made up for losing half our money last night on the good round of golf, I can feel good about sitting back, relaxing, enjoying some cocktails this afternoon. So yes, that is where we're at right now.
Now, this has also been interesting because does Sharon feel the same way? This golf accomplishment feels very personal. Like I don't think that you got any money off of this, right? So like, yeah, it maybe made up the difference in your mood, but she is still down half of the original profits. What did she do while you were golfing? Did you have like spa day or something?
No, she went and played some tennis with the ladies. She had some fun playing some tennis. Listen, Sharon is an attorney, so she can drink with the best of them. So she can drink with or without me, and she's the elder of the two of us. So she kind of makes the rules. She's actually in the room right now just laughing. She's not hearing you. She's only hearing me and my idiotic responses to you at the moment and kind of like, what are you talking about? But at the end of the day, no, we are both in a very good mood. The goal is to get the money back last night. Like I said, we were up big after the first two nights, lost half the earnings last night, get those earnings back tonight. That way we can enjoy ourselves tomorrow. Or if not, we're not going to drink on our last day.
And what do we do when we lose the casino, Brum? We chase those losses, okay, guys? That is gambling 101. In all seriousness, I'm probably supposed to offer some sort of like 1-800 number here because you should not chase your losses. You should gamble for fun and gamble responsibly with the FanDuel Sportsbook app, promo code SNAPS. All right, dude, very excited to get into today's show. Got a few quick topics to run through. We'll start with a nice little fun one. I know we got a lot of Georgia fans here that listen to the program, Aaron. And AJ Green retiring from the NFL, one of the best to ever do it, dude. Obviously, someone that you had a very close relationship with. Give us like an AJ Green, maybe an anecdote or a favorite memory. What do you remember about playing with AJ?
Well, I remember when I was getting recruited to go to Georgia, and I was doing a little research, like, you know, what does the offensive line look like, what the receivers look like, what the backs look like, and I saw that there was we called it an Okie route, or we actually called it a bench route at Georgia. I called it an Okie route there in Kansas City, but it's a 6-step speed out. So AJ back in high school was running a 6-step speed out. A lot of people remember this, and he's rolling it to the outside. Ball was thrown to the inside. As a quarterback, you're taught to throw that ball to the sideline. As he's breaking out, jumps in midair, turns, contorts his body, and catches it with one hand. So I watched that highlight, and I said, okay, Georgia's got some pretty legit receivers there. Let me take a look at them. And obviously they had like guys like Ben Jones and this guy and that guy at the offensive line. So I was like, okay, we got offensive linemen. We have one of the best receivers in the country. I need to consider Georgia. And I get there, and AJ, man, he's country strong. He's long. He's lanky, but really strong and like I said, that country strong mentality and just hard to bring down. So it was really good that my first couple of years being able to throw to him, especially my first full season, and just it was always that comfort of knowing that you had the best receiver in the country one on one. And what made him and like a guy like Julio Jones so good in these pro style systems is you just knew where they were at all times. Like we weren't a part of an offense, and there was Alabama where, you know, AJ was in the slot or AJ was in the backfield or AJ was here or there. Like AJ was the Z. So 2x2 formations, AJ was going to be to the field. Okay. Anytime we went to a 3x1 formation, AJ was going to be the X. So AJ was going to be backside. So I knew as a quarterback, okay, how is the defense going to adjust? And it just made it really simple for me. Anytime I got one-on-one, boom, I'm taking my shot with AJ. And, you know, my favorite play for and I posted it yesterday, was versus Colorado. We're on the road. We ended up losing the game, whatever. But it was really, what? I think it was my first touchdown to him. And he's one on one on the backside.
Wait. This is weird. No. I'm saying, when was Colorado good enough in like the post 2010s to beat Georgia? What year was this? I'm so confused. What record did y'all end with that year?
This was 2010.
Okay.
Oh, we were 6-7. We had a losing record.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we were very good. We were not very good. There we go. This was the year AJ was suspended for the first four games because of the signing of jersey. So this was his first game back. So AJ comes back. We're 1-3. We won our first game, but then we lost to South Carolina, Arkansas, Mississippi State. So we're 1-3 at the time. And we go up to Colorado. And it was our, you know, AJ first red zone opportunity with AJ. So I'm like, okay, let's pop this cherry a little bit, get AJ's first touchdown of the season, get us feeling pretty good. and I threw an ugly duck of a back shoulder. I mean, the thing was like wobbling, shoot it down kind of throw. And AJ jumps up, snags it with one hand. And I'm like, my God, like I have missed you so much for four games to start the season. And then, you know, we lost the game, but, you know, kind of then, you know, we were 1-4, but we knew like, okay, AJ.
Oh, did we lose Aaron? I think we might have lost Aaron's
Andy's internet, gone.
There. 1-4 to finish 6-7. Okay, dude, they finished. So, oh, dude, please, Brum, do you have your phone with you? Can you take a picture of this?
I'm on it right now.
Okay, I will as well, just so we maximize. Yeah, that's a screen grab right there. All right, dude, I can just keep doing the show, Brum. You want me to just keep doing the show?
Yeah, keep doing the show, because we're obviously just going to leave this in.
Okay, perfect. I agree. So I will, and shout out if you listen on podcast.
Also, this is definitely the thumbnail, by the way.
Yes, it should be the thumbnail. Wait, hold on. How can I do a face that's going to kind of match this? We'll see. Okay. I will get back to my favorite AJ Green memory, because it mainly circles around LSU beating Georgia, which I thoroughly enjoyed. But okay, let's start with something else that caught my eye this morning. And it's interesting, Brum. So I do a morning radio show. So a lot of times.
Oh, top 10 show in the morning show in the country.
Oh, that's right. I even forgot to brag on that. That's right. Off the Bench. Shout out. Well, top 10 morning show in the country sounds great. Technically, top 10 mid-market local morning sports talk show. But yeah, hell yeah, dude.
Yeah.
13, 11, now number 10 in the country. But you know, doing the morning show, a lot of times you'll get like a little story that maybe starts to roll downhill and you start to explore it and we'll see where it eventually goes. I don't know yet where this story is going to end, but there was a post from Tom Mars, who is a lawyer that works for the Wall Street Journal, about a new NCAA rule, a new bylaw that the NCAA has kind of put into place, kind of under the radar a bit here. And it just, well, I think it calls to mind some interesting reflection upon the current state of the NCAA. So Tom tweets, in case you missed it, new NCAA bylaw 19 allows the Committee on Infractions. Oh, we got Aaron back. Aaron, what's up, man? Can you hear us?
Yeah, I didn't hear you. Yes. Hang loose?
Okay.
It sounds like you've moved on from the AJ Green, but it gets touched on.
Hold on. I don't know, boys. Hold on. We may have to pause. Aaron's internet appears to be failing us. Damn Bahamans.
God, why doesn't the Caribbean have American infrastructure?
Yeah, what the hell, dude?
Thanks a lot, colonialism.
That's actually really good, Brum. Is that as good though? So I do live reads for a plumbing company, and today,
do you like start with like a fake flushing sound effect?
No, but today, like a bolt of lightning, the line came out of my mouth: "If you overstink it, don't overthink it."
That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, come on, dude. Right? Yeah. Sometimes genius strikes. Okay, so back to the new bylaw.
No, let's wait on Aaron. I have a question. Is it
top hit me up.
Three worst things you can do in a public scenario? Is overflow a toilet at someone's home, correct?
Yes. I once, so I was neighbors. Do you remember Jesse Tuggle, the old great Atlanta Falcon? Jesse the Hammer Tuggle.
I'm aware of the name, but nothing else. Yes.
I was neighbors with him, and me and his son Justin used to play together all the time. And by far, the most embarrassing overflowing that I ever had. I mean, sometimes you'll clog a toilet and it's bad because you'll have to go to the person and be like,
do you have a plunger?
Do you have a plunger? Yes. No. This thing. And also I was a little kid, so I think I just kept like scare flushing. You know how when you're like, oh my God, and you just freaked out, you just keep trying to flush, hoping somehow it's going to fix itself. So I legitimately made it overflow to the point where the entire bathroom was covered in water and floating pieces of my shit, and Jesse the Hammer Tuggle had to clean it up. How old
were you?
Like 10 or 11 probably.
Yep.
It was awful. I will never forget it. Also, having a shit in a bar bathroom without a door is awful as well.
The worst.
Aaron, what's up, dude? We got you back. Are you okay? You look a little
speaking
perturbed.
Of having to take a shit without a door. I'm good. I was just thinking about you having to poop without a door. Did you know that thing was is it Tennessee? I think it's Tennessee Stadium that the locker rooms for the visitors have no doors where the toilets are.
Yeah, Mississippi State used to have that as well, and it would infuriate me. It would literally make me like it was a bad move by them because it made me want to beat their ass even more. Like, that's my one moment of solace before the game starts where I could read a little Game of Thrones, start to get my mind right. And no, now I got to stare at everybody. Mm-hmm. Oh, I hate it. I loathe it.
So two things on that. One, there was nothing worse than having to walk by all the offensive linemen going to the bathroom before the game. There's no door. So that was very disturbing. And then right now, we're at this 5-star resort in the Bahamas.
Oh yeah, get him! Resort,
and the bathroom. There's the bathroom, and then there's the door to the restroom, the toilet, and it's glass. You can see right through it. So I'm just like, I'm sitting there going to the bathroom, and Sharon's like doing her hair. I'm just like, I'm thank God we're married. It was like, how are you supposed to go on a date with someone if you get this room and it's just straight glass? I'm like, what are we doing here? Five-star resort. I mean, like, come on. A little privacy.
If you're going on a date with someone at that hotel at that point, y'all are there to bang, right? It's less a date and more of like a, hey, let's go have sex at this awesome resort. And at that point, if it's already kind of casual sex, we're not fully comfortable with each other, she's not going to be getting ready while you're shitting at the same time. I feel you that it may not be ideal, but there are – look, yeah. No,
do I need to show you the room so you get a feel for this? It's wide open.
No, do not wide move. Open. Do no not hiding. Move. Your do service not. Is working. You're not allowed to move.
Okay, real quick. So we can let Aaron get back to vacation. Aaron, I can't remember exactly where you cut off in the story. You threw the duck against Colorado. You had lost. Oh, y'all were 1-4 at the time, but you had AJ back. How did it finish?
Yes. Yeah, finished great, man. He went on and had a great end of the season. And, you know, between that, I remember I threw a screen pass to AJ. It was just a quick bubble screen to the Z, option to hand it off or option to throw it. If it was like 7 yards or more of coverage or essentially cushion from the DB, I'm going to give it to AJ. And obviously we're playing Vanderbilt, so they're going to give AJ some cushion. And I threw it out to him. He stiff-armed the DB, stiff-armed the safety, and ran for a 70-yard touchdown. I'm like, man, this is too easy. Like, this shouldn't be allowed. Like, to be able to throw a ball that was behind the line of scrimmage and it turned to a 70-yard touchdown was the easiest thing in the world. Like, his body style and Julio Jones, those like 6'4", 6'5 guys, that was the game. That was a pro-style game, man. You just put those guys in those two spots. If you got your one-on-one, boom, you take it. And it's just been interesting to see how the game has evolved. And now, you know, you don't need that 6'4", 6'5 guy as much. I still think most quarterbacks like the bigger receivers across the middle. But you are seeing more of like the 5'10", the 6'1", 4-3, low 4-4 guy you can move around, put in the backfield. So, you know, both of them obviously had their moments in this new style of offenses in the NFL, but, you know, their game was really meant for that 2005 to 2016, 2017 kind of run of pro style offenses.
JLab has something for everyone with earbuds and headphones that are as versatile as you are. Perfect for calls, listening to podcasts, and working out. They are built for every single moment. JLab is proud to partner with powerhouse college athletics, UCLA, Duke, Gonzaga, Indiana, St. John's, TCU, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Minnesota, San Diego State, and more. From lively tailgates to coaches' play calling and courtside rivalries to college athletics NIL deals, JLab joins the action and connects with 182 million plus college sports fans nationwide. They're excited to partner with 17 D1 college schools, showcasing their passion and loyalty of fans and athletes across the United States. Whether creating cutting-edge tech products or pursuing athletic greatness, being the best takes hard work and commitment. JLab is proud to partner with schools who are showcasing the hard work, perseverance, and even the championship celebrations across all college sports. Use code SNAPS25 for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you're an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about an American-made success story in Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. Black Buffalo's nicotine pouches are not owned by Big Tobacco. They're an independent company proudly built right here in the USA for 21 and over adult consumers. Black Buffalo was built by dippers with decades of smokeless tobacco use. They believed the market wanted tobacco alternative nicotine products that offered the best of both worlds. Bold flavor, full pouches. What are they made of? It's pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves, food grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical grade nicotine. Most importantly, there's no tobacco leaf or stem. All proudly made right here in the USA. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out the store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Yeah, we are all products of our generation. My favorite AJ Green catch was when he mossed my guy, Chris Mitchell, in the corner of the end zone with, like, I don't know, like 30 seconds left in the game. And it looked like Georgia was going to beat LSU in Athens. Absolutely brutal. 2009. And then after a celebration penalty, because, I mean, it was egregious, the amount of celebrating that Georgia did after the touchdown, we got a nice little kickoff, get set up at the 50. And then SEC honorable mention starting center T-Bob Hebert pancakes Rennie Curran for a walk-off 50-yard touchdown run. Gotta love it, dude. How about Les Miles, too? We're starting to drive to try to kick a field goal with like 2 minutes left. We maybe have one timeout, and we called a zone read first play. And then it went for a 50-yard touchdown. what a game. What a game. Yeah, less. Okay, now, Aaron, I already did setup on what we're about to get into. This is that bylaw that I was talking about, folks, that it was kind of uncovered this morning. The NCAA just pushed through. New NCAA bylaw 19 allows the Committee on Infractions to immediately punish a school or coach with no right to appeal in any infractions if their lawyer declines to let the enforcement staff rummage through the lawyer's confidential emails, text messages, or phone records. No lawyer is ever going to allow this. So this confuses me on a few fronts, but I'll get to the big picture very quickly. First off, again, I don't know how you enforce anything around NIL right now. It's a patchwork of state laws. There's no, how do you prove that something is inducement in recruiting versus paying someone for their image? Because you can pay a high school kid for his image and then be like, oh, and then he happened to choose my school. I have no idea who did that. No lawyer will ever agree to having their confidential emails, text messages, and phone records rummaged through. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, this bylaw in itself is unenforceable. And that idea of being unenforceable to me calls a bigger question of what can the NCAA actually enforce nowadays? Which then calls into question, did Mark Emmert break the NCAA with how he ushered it in to this new era? And the reason why I say that, remember, Mark Emmert had a very deliberate strategy of, I am not going to head NIL off, right? We are going to let it pass. There's too much legal momentum against us. Of course, Justice Kavanaugh a couple of years ago wrote that letter talking about how, you know, in any other American industry, the NCAA model would be like flatly illegal, et cetera, et cetera. And there's all kind of antitrust threats coming in constantly. But I don't think that that means that nothing could have been done, right? I think a more forward-thinking leader could have ushered in a soft landing for NIL. Instead of just ignoring it completely, maybe you create some NIL guidelines to help state lawmakers as they try to litigate all of this. Instead, you went with the full Wild West approach, and well, we see what has happened, right? The landscape of college football is unlike anything we've ever seen. It's completely absurd, and there's no real path back. Like, that's the craziest part about all this. Like, the momentum is such that I don't ever think it's going to be fixed. Like, the haves, the rich are only going to get richer here. And it's like, okay, well, why did Emmert do that? And the only thing that I can imagine is that he was maybe hoping that, because he knows that federal help is needed, federal litigation from Congress. I think he wanted the chaos to cause so much controversy and anger that in that chaos, people would be like, you know, that there would be enough momentum to get Congress to act on this. And unfortunately, I just don't think that strategy has played out at all. Instead, you now have an NCAA that is as pointless as ever. I mean, they put on championships, but they cannot enforce any rules. And the rules are such that you don't even know what to enforce because it's all dependent on state law. It's just Mark Emmert, like, I don't know. I just wonder 5-10 years down the road, we look back on what it is. I wonder what his legacy will be, because where we sit here today, it looks like he's just completely neutered and declawed an organization that maybe should have been neutered and declawed, quite honestly, but I don't think it was intent. Yeah. But it just feels like he completely dropped the ball in trying to stay ahead of these changing times.
No, he did. And it is definitely, I would say, not very respected. I think that's basically the end of the day. Like, if NCAA does try to come out with some sort of mandate or law or punishment, it's kind of at the point, like, it's laughed about. Like, really, you're really going to come at us now for everything? So I think that's where the NCAA has gone to, because of especially this NIL thing. It's laughable. It really is. It needs to be kind of ripped apart or moved on from at this point. So we'll see what happens when new leadership comes into play, I believe, this summer, with what direction they want to head into. But to essentially feel like, okay, we're going to allow this to get to where it is now in hopes of federal, you know, some sort of federal mandate to get involved with this thing, I think is naive. There's too many other problems going on across the country right now to think that they're going to really care about our 18 to 22-year-old kids making money. Is it fair? Is it not fair? Like, that, who cares at that point? So to me, I also don't think you could have looked at it in the future, because the biggest problem with NIL is the way some of these collectives are run, and them being involved for this, you know, supposed play for play aspect of the whole situation. But I just don't think any of us envisioned it to get to that point. Like, we worried about, you know, maybe boosters. We worried about maybe enough local mom and pop shops giving deals to players. Like, maybe that could have been an issue down the line. But, like, nothing to me was going to be, you know, essentially a group of people coming together to put $13 million into a collective to offer a 4-star quarterback. Like, I never saw that happening. And maybe I was in the position to have to force myself to think about that and ways this thing could turn to pay for play. But I don't know, the more that I discuss it, I know I'm the salty old man that wants to go back to the days of just playing football and having pride for playing for university and enjoying playing college football, and the money will come later. I think right now, like, I don't think we're in that bad of a spot. Like, no, we have some hiccups. The Florida thing was a hiccup. But at the moment right now, like, I don't think, like, the college – like, to me, when people say the college game is ruined, I think that is silly. It's not ruined. People still love it. People still watch it. It's still entertaining. It's different. It's evolving. The kids are getting paid, which they should. Some of it's sketchy as hell, yes. But I think right now the college football game is in a great spot. I just think at the end of the day, to me, like I said a few minutes ago, the NCAA as a whole is in a bad spot, because I don't think they're respected by players, by coaches, by fans. Yeah. And I think that's going to be the problem we lie with.
No, like, the NCAA feels like an organization that is doomed to die here within the next 10 years, potentially. At least maybe, like, football breaks out or something, right? I'm not worried about players being paid, and even the Rashada thing, right? $13 million is an extreme number. But like Brum pointed out yesterday, you know, there's a pretty significant clause in there where Florida's like, we can cancel the deal whenever we want for whatever reason we want. So it was kind of a fake number in a lot of ways anyway. The only thing that concerns me about the current setting is I am worried about a concentration of power, right? like a furthering of the richest getting richer and then everybody else being forced away around the edges. But that's only stuff that'll tell over time. And the final object for today, real quickly here, Brian Ferentz was in the news yesterday. If you don't know him, he is the Iowa offensive coordinator, the son of Kirk Ferentz. And it's just funny because if you watched Iowa last year, you know that their offense was absolutely putrid. And then you read the article or the headline, and you see that Brian Ferentz got a pay cut to $850,000, which is wild to think about, that the man who just turned out an offense that with a senior quarterback averaged 17 points a game, good for 123 out of 131 nationally, is making nearly $1 million a year. And he's also the head coach's son. Now, I'm a beneficiary of nepotism, so I get it, man. Human beings love nepotism. It's kind of what our entire world is built off of. But Brian Ferentz making 850,000, even after the pay cut, making 850K to coach offense is objectively pretty wild.
Yeah, to be one of the worst offenses in the country. And I just, to me, the funny thing is the bonus structure of, hey, we're 123rd, but you will get a bonus in your new contract if you get us just to like 85th in the country. Like just 85th, still way down there on the list of offenses that are competitive. That's all you need to get to. Nepotism, man. You are the prime example of it, Devo. You know it better than us, like you just said. So, and good for him, man. To know that I could go to a place like Iowa, have decent talent, score in only not even get 20 points per game, and still get $850,000 per year. Just makes me continue to regret the profession I'm in possibly, and understand that, man, I could just go be way below average and get almost $1 million per year.
So the real nepotistic angle here is that, so while Kirk Ferentz has like this 10-year deal, Brian Ferentz had a rolling 2-year deal where every 2 years, it just gets automatically re-upped. So along with the pay cut, they actually put the rolling deal on pause. So by July 2024, that does not automatically renew unless they average 25 a game and go to a bowl game, which, as you said, 25 a game is such a hilariously low bar to average, especially in modern college football. I mean, Arkansas State, 81st. They're basically telling Brian Ferentz, look, man, hey, listen, son, if you want this deal again, if you want us to continue to pay you $1 million a year, you need to do better than 30% of your peers, okay? If you can break that 30, it's like he's a hitter hitting for average. If he can break that 300 mark, then you can get back in there. You also have to make a bowl game. We didn't say that. So, hey, but you know what, Aaron? Don't come after nepotism, okay? Why are there so many presidents with sons or family members? Every single king, every blood monarchy was built on nepotism, okay? And I'm not so sure about this democracy thing anyway. Like, do you trust the average person? I don't. I mean, I think on the whole, like on macro, I think people are kind of stupid. And yeah, I think we had monarchical blood infused nepotistic rule a lot longer than this weird little democratic experiment we're in. No, give me nepotism or give me death. Because you know what? Look, Brian Ferentz was not always as bad as last year, okay? In fact,
yes, he was.
No. Look at this.
Yes.
No. Yeah, I guess I am actually
been
struggling
for a while.
No. Oh no! In 2020, they were second in the Big Ten in points per game. They averaged 31.8. Now that was also the year where I think Iowa got up to second in the country and forced like 7,000 turnovers. But in 2018, they were fourth in the Big Ten over 31 points a game. So how's that, Aaron? Suck it. Brian Ferentz is the man. Nepotism,
I mean, you've
rules.
Had two. I'm just saying, you've had two straight years now of under 25 points per game. 2021, 21 points per game, and then obviously 23 points per game. 2022, 17.7 points per game. So, right now, if we kind of predict ahead to next year, does he hit the 25 point per game mark? Saying no.
Yeah, he finally got rid of Spencer Petras. Spencer was dragging him down, dude. He's got a real quarterback now. Who's the Iowa quarterback? Does anybody know?
It's Cade McNamara, right?
Yes, see, exactly. Bam. Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Cade McNamara. Yeah. the gem of the transfer portal, Cade McNamara. Yeah.
Oh.
Wasn't the Michigan defense? It was Cade McNamara that led Michigan into the playoffs.
Okay. How about this, so, Aaron?
Savior.
Out of everybody in the portal, there's only one quarterback that has played in a playoff game. Okay. Only one quarterback led his team to play. One Devin Leary. It won Sam.
And he balled out in that playoff game too, T-Bomb.
Yeah, McNamara did. I remember. He had like 100 yards, dude. Just wait. About to get that thing to 150 next year.
And pounced.
All right. Well, that'll do it for today's show. Aaron, thank you so much. We'll let you go back to your wonderful wife. Tell her that I'm very happy for her that you played golf well so she's allowed to drink. That's great. I think y'all are going to have a great time. Huge thank you to Ryan Brumley, Paul Ferry, to Pat Gunner, and Danny Carnes. Thanks for sticking around. If you're listening through all this kind of a technical difficulty madness, we are back, set up the off-screen, good to go. And again, don't know when these things will be dropping during the week. We're going to try to bring you one or two more. We'll see. Thank you so much, FanDuel, The Volume. And we'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode of, we'll be back sometime with a brand new episode of Snaps.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.